Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the morning segment of the Saturday, April 22nd episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. If you ever wondered, I know you find it out there and it says Rodney Floyd. My given name is Rodney Wayne Floyd Jr., but I go by Wayne. My father went by Rodney. My grandson goes by Rodney. So we've got we had four Rodneys if my father was still alive. We would have four Rodneys, and wish he was. He'd be in his 80s now, and it would be wonderful to have the four Rodneys. But needless to say, we're not all called Rodney. My son, the third, is called Trey because he's the third. My father came up with that. And honestly, sometimes they refer to my grandson as four. I'm not sure upon that, but it's cute. And he responds to it, but he responds to Rodney as well. Or Drew, his uncle, from my daughter-in-law's side, calls him Drew for quadruple. So very, very cute. And he's a sweet, sweet, sweet blue-eyed redheaded boy. But anyways, so the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. A lot of great podcasts over there. Definitely worth your while. Very, very well validated. We get very highly evaluated as we come in, and some get turned down. A lot have. Actually, more have gotten turned down than accepted to the group. There are approximately 60 podcasts out there now that are Christian podcast community, a very, very wide variety of topics. So you definitely get out there and find you something you want to listen to. And honestly, you probably find more to listen to than you have time to listen to. I've even gotten to the point I'm starting to listen to, my podcasts at faster than normal speed so I can listen to more of them. And yes, it actually works. 1.5 times right now seems to work pretty well, and I can still understand and follow. I thought about going to 2 times, but I have a feeling I'd have trouble with that. But just a suggestion to you. I wasn't originally doing that. Somebody suggested that to me, and it was a great suggestion. So anyways, with it being a Saturday episode with a weekend episode, we're not going to be doing our Bible study today, but we are going to be doing our regular reading. And I'm sorry, I just too much stuff going on. My wife's been sick, so I didn't get recorded last night. So this is coming out a little late this morning. I'm sorry about that, but I did want to get it out to you. So let's go ahead and jump in. We're going to go ahead and open up with our seventh day morning prayer. It's called God's Good Pleasure. Let's pray. Sovereign Lord, thy will is supreme in heaven and earth, and all beings are creatures of thy power. Thou art the father of our spirits. Thy inspiration gives us understanding. Thy providence governs our lives. But, O God, we are sinners in thy sight. Thou hast judged us so, and if we deny it, we make thee a liar. Yet in Christ thou art reconciled to thy rebellious subjects. Give us the ear of faith to hear him, the eye of faith to see him, the hand of faith to receive him, the appetite of faith to feed upon him, that we might find in him light, riches, honor, eternal life. Thou art the inviting one, may we hearken to thee. The almighty instructor, teach us to live to thee. The light dweller, inaccessible to man and angels, hiding thyself behind the elements of creation, but known to us in Jesus. Possess our minds with the grandeur of thy perfections. Thy love to us in Jesus is firm and changeless. Nothing can separate us from it, and in the enjoyment of it nothing can make us miserable. Preserve us from hypocrisy and formality in religion. Enable us to remember what thou art and what we are, to recall thy holiness and our unworthiness. Help us to approach thee clothed with humility. For vanity, forwardness, insensibility, disorderly affection, backwardness to duty, proneness to evil are in our hearts. Let us never forget thy patience, wisdom, power, faithfulness, care, and never cease to respond to thy invitations. Amen. All right, morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text for it, for April 22nd, I should say, the text for it is from in Acts 5:31, Him hath God exalted. Jesus our Lord, once crucified, dead, and buried, now sits upon the throne of glory. The highest place that heaven affords is his by undisputed right. It is sweet to remember that the exaltation of Christ in heaven is a representative exaltation. He is exalted at the Father's right hand. And though as Jehovah he had imminent glories in which finite creatures cannot share, yet as the mediator, the honors which Jesus wears in heaven, are the heritage of all the saints. It is delightful to reflect how close is Christ's union with his people. We are actually one with him. We are members of his body, and his exaltation is our exaltation. He will give us to sit upon his throne. Even as he has overcome and is set down with his Father on his throne, he has a crown, and he gives us crowns too. He has a throne, but he is not content with having a throne to himself. On his right hand there must be his queen, arrayed in gold of Ophir. He cannot be glorified without his bride. Look up, believer, to Jesus now. Let the eye of your faith behold him, with many crowns upon his head, and remember that you will one day be like him. When you shall see him as he is, you shall not be so great as he is, you shall not be so divine, but still you shall, in a measure, share the same honors, and enjoy the same happiness, and the same dignity which he possesses. Be content to live unknown for a little while, and to walk your weary way through the fields of poverty, or up the hills of affliction. For by and by you shall reign with Christ, for he has made us kings and priests unto God, and we shall reign forever and ever. A wonderful thought for the children of God. We have Christ for our glorious representative in heaven's courts now, and soon he will come and receive us to himself, to be with him there, to behold his glory, and to share his joy. Amen. Oh, sorry, it wasn't really a prayer, but wow, what an amazing, amazing devotion from Spurgeon, as most of his are. All right, well, our reading today is going to be Joshua 24, then Luke 21, first 28 verses, Psalm 39, 38 through the end of verse 38 through the end of the chapter, and Proverbs 13, verses 20 through 23. So Joshua 24. Hear the word of the Lord. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem, and called for the elders of Israel, and for their heads and their judges, and their officers, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river, and led him through all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his seed, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau, and to Esau I gave Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I smote Egypt by what I did in its midst. And afterward I brought you out. And I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea, and Egypt pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. Then they cried out to Yahweh. He put darkness between you and the Egyptians, and brought the sea upon them and covered them, and your own eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness for many days. Then I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who lived beyond the Jordan, and they fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel, and he sent and summoned Balaam the son of Beor to curse you. But I was not willing to listen to Balaam, so he blessed you repeatedly, and I delivered you from his hand. And you crossed the Jordan and came to Jericho, and the citizens of Jericho fought against you, and the Amorite and the Perizzite and the Canaanite and the Hittite and the Girgashite, the Hivite and the Jebusite. Thus I gave them into your hand. Then I sent the hornet before you, and it drove out the two kings of the Amorites from before you, but not by your sword or your bow. And I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities which you had not built, and you have lived in them. You are eating of vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. So now fear Yahweh, and serve him in integrity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve Yahweh. It is evil in your sight to serve Yahweh. If it is evil in your sight to serve Yahweh, choose for yourself today whom you will serve. Whether the God which your father served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. And the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake Yahweh to serve other gods. For Yahweh our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight and kept us through all the way in which we went and among all the peoples through whose midst we passed. And Yahweh drove out from before us all the peoples, even the Amorites who lived in the land. We also will serve Yahweh, for he is our God. Then Joshua said to the people, "You will not be able to serve Yahweh, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions or your sins. If you forsake Yahweh and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done good to you." And the people said to Joshua, "No, but we will serve Yahweh." And Joshua said to the people, "You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen for yourselves Yahweh to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses. So now put away the foreign gods which are in your midst and incline your hearts to Yahweh, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve Yahweh our God and we will listen to his voice." So Joshua cut a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and a judgment in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of Yahweh. And Joshua said to all the people, "Behold, this stone shall be for a witness against us, for it has heard all the words of Yahweh which he spoke to us. Thus it shall be for a witness against you, lest you deny your God." Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to his inheritance. Now it happened that after these things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Yahweh, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the territory of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, on the north of Mount Gaash. And Israel served Yahweh all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who survived Joshua, who knew all the work of Yahweh which he had done for Israel. Now they buried the bones of Joseph, which the sons of Israel brought up from Egypt at Shechem, in the portion of the field which Jacob had bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 kesitas, and they became the inheritance of Joseph's sons. And Eleazar the son of Aaron died, and they buried him at Gibeah of Phinehas his son, which was given him in the hill country of Ephraim. And Luke 21, verse 1 through 28. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw a poor widow putting in 2 lepta. And he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them, for they all put in their gifts out of their abundance, but she, out of what she lacked, put in all that she had for living." And while some were talking about the temple, that it had been adorned with beautiful stones and dedicated gifts, he said, "As for these things which you are looking at, the days will come in which there will not be left one stone upon another, which will not be torn down." So they questioned him, saying, "Teacher, when therefore will these things happen, and what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And he said, "See to it that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end does not follow immediately." Then he continued saying to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will result in an opportunity for your testimony. So set in your hearts not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. Yet not a hair of your head will perish. By your perseverance you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is at hand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains, and those who are in the midst of the city must leave, and those who are in the countryside must not enter the city. Because these are days of vengeance, so that all things which are written will be fulfilled. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress upon the land and wrath against his people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and will be led captive into all the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. and there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth anguish among nations, and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. Men fainting from fear and the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. All right. And now Psalm 89, verses 38 through 52. So it's through the end of the chapter. But you have cast off and rejected. You have been full of wrath against your anointed. You have spurned the covenant of your slave. You have profaned his crown to the ground. You have broken down all his walls. You have beset his strongholds with ruin. All who pass along the way plunder him. He has become a reproach to his neighbors. You have exalted the right hand of his adversaries. You have made all his enemies be glad. You also turned back the edge of his sword, and have not made him arise in battle. You have made his splendor to cease, and cast his throne to the ground. You have shortened the days of his youth. You have wrapped him up with shame. Selah. How long, O Yahweh, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? Remember what my span of life is. For what vanity you have created all the sons of men. What man can live and not see death? Can he provide his soul escape from the power of Sheol? Selah. Where are your former loving kindnesses, O Lord, which you swore to David in your faithfulness? Remember, O Lord, the reproach of your slaves, how I bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples, with which your enemies have reproached, O Yahweh, with which they have reproached the footsteps of your anointed. Blessed be Yahweh forever. Amen and amen. And finally, Proverbs 13, verses 20 through 23. He who walks with the wise will be wise, but the friends of fools will suffer harm. Evil pursues sinners, but the righteous are repaid with good. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, and the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Abundant food is in the fallow ground of the poor, but it is swept away by injustice. All right. Well, that is our reading for April 22nd. We're going to go ahead and do the evening devotion here from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text for it is from Psalm 91, verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night. What is this terror? It may be the cry of fire, or the noise of thieves, or fancied appearances, or the shriek of sudden sickness or death. We live in the world of death and sorrow. We may therefore look for ills as well in the night watches as beneath the glare of the broiling sun. Nor should this alarm us, for be the terror what it may, the promise is that the believer shall not be afraid. Why should he? Let us put it more closely. Why should we? God our Father is here, and will be here all through the lonely hours. He is an almighty watcher, a sleepless guardian, a faithful friend. Nothing can happen without his direction, for even hell itself is under his control. Darkness is not dark to him. He has promised to be a wall of fire around his people, and who can break through such a barrier? Worldlings may well be afraid, for they have an angry God above them, a guilty conscience within them, and a yawning hell beneath them. But we who rest in Jesus are saved from all these through rich mercy. If we give way to foolish fear, we shall dishonor our profession and lead others to doubt the reality of godliness. We ought to be afraid of being afraid, lest we should vex the Holy Spirit by foolish distrust. Down then, ye dismal forebodings and groundless apprehensions. God has not forgotten to be gracious nor shut up his tender mercies. It may be night in the soul, but there need be no terror, for the God of love changes not. Children of light may walk in darkness, but they are not therefore cast away. Nay, they are now enabled to prove their adopting by trusting in their heavenly Father as hypocrites cannot do. Though the night be dark and dreary, darkness cannot hide from thee. Thou art he who never weary, watchest where thy people be. All right. Well, that is our episode for the day. That is our program. Again, thank you for spending this time with me. I hope this time with doing our reading and then our Bible studies are beneficial to you, that they are edifying, that they equip you for your godly walk, hopefully godly walk, your Christian walk, that worthy walk, as Paul speaks of in Ephesians 4. And that it will help you through your walk of that walk of sanctification. I hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. I hope you have an interesting plans for this weekend. I kind of did, but not as much now, dealing with a sick wife. But I'm very happy to be able to care for her. I'm very blessed by that, because there was a lot of time in our marriage where I could, in some cases, where I wasn't even here, where I wasn't even around, where I could take care of her. So I'm blessed to be able to do so. But if your plans this weekend do not include worshiping with the saints, then you need to change your plans, because we are called to gather and worship. And if you can't, I think it's Steve Lawson actually said it recently, and you got to make this decision yourself. And this is something you got to do through prayer, and true perusal of the scriptures. But he actually made this statement that some people, you know, they want to make the argument, well, there's not a good church near me. And his statement to them was, move. Now, I know that's easy to say and very hard to do. And I'm very, very blessed that I have a couple of very solid churches within 10, 15 minutes of me. So I don't have to do that. So again, I'm not going to sit here and try to stand up on a pedestal and tell you to move. But this deals with your eternity. We're all going to live eternally. The difference is, are you saved? Are you truly saved? Is your soul being shaped by the Holy Spirit and being driven through that walk of sanctification? Are you truly being fed by a solid Bible believing church? That you're truly hearing the word of God every week? Because if not, it's going to be awful hard for you to be saved or to truly know you are saved. There are an awful lot of people sitting out that are out there in churches today that are pew sitters. They're holding the pew down so gravity doesn't go away and the pew shoot up in the air. That's all they're doing. They think they're saved. They think they're Christian. Mom and dad were Christian. They've been going to church all their life. They're absolutely certain that they're Christians because of that. And, you know, and they've raised their hand and said a prayer and walked down an aisle. And I know there are some people that are saved that way, but not many. You need to be constantly fed with the word of God to be brought to a place of saving faith in Christ. So again, please, it sounds like I'm saying it flippantly, but I'm not. If your plans do not include worshiping with the saints this weekend, change them. Find a solid church. If it's 100 miles away, I know how bad gas is. Believe me, I just put gas in my car. And it's almost $5 a gallon here in Arizona. And I'm sure it's worse other places. But go. Figure out some way and go. All right. Well, I hope you have a great day. Let's go ahead and close out with prayer. Instead of the seventh day evening prayer, we're going to do the Lord's Day Eve prayer this evening. So let's pray. God of the passing hour, another week has gone, and I have been preserved in my going out and my coming in. Thine has been the vigilance that has turned threatened evils aside. Thine the supplies that have nourished me. Thine the comforts that have indulged me. Thine the relations and friends that have delighted me. Thine the means of grace which have edified me. Thine the book which amidst all my enjoyments has told me that this is not my rest, that in all successes one thing alone is needful, to love my Savior. Nothing can equal the number of thy mercies but my imperfections and sins. These, O God, I will neither conceal nor palliate, but confess with a broken heart. In what condition would secret reviews of my life leave me, were it not for the assurance that with thee there is plenteous redemption, that thou art a forgiving God, that thou mayest be feared. While I hope for pardon through the blood of the cross, I pray to be clothed with humility, to be quickened in thy way, to be more devoted to thee, to keep the end of my life in view, to be cured of the folly of delay and indecision, to know how frail I am, to number my days and apply my heart unto wisdom. Amen. All right, again, I hope you go and have a wonderful day. Have a good one. God bless.